Chapter 3. The Book of Mormon, the most correct of any book? I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth, and the keystone of our religion, and a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. Joseph Smith. One purpose of the LDS missionary lessons is to convince a prospect that God did not protect his church after the death of the last apostle, and that he did not protect his word, the Bible. The devaluation of Holy Writ is accomplished in two ways. First, Mormons point to works by Hebrew writers, such as the Book of the Wars of Israel and the Book of the Covenant mentioned by Moses, the Book of Jasher mentioned by Joshua, the Book of the Acts of Solomon mentioned in 1 Kings, the Book of Jehu and Acts of Uzziah by Isaiah, sayings of the seers, and other lost books we might title 3 Corinthians, 2 Ephesians, and the Epistle to the Laodiceans referred to in the New Testament. Mormons say, "See, these books are missing from the Bible. It is incomplete and thus unreliable." Bible students, however, know that many obviously uninspired literary works are likewise mentioned in the Bible. In the New Testament, for instance, the Apostle Paul quoted from pagan Greek writers, Acts 17:28 and Titus 1:12. No one, including LDS apologists, would assert that the complete works from which these quotations were taken should be regarded by us as scripture, nor that the Bible is incomplete without those complete works. An argument citing the incompleteness of the Bible is indeed a weak crutch upon which to lean the plea for the necessity of more scripture. If these missing books of the Bible were necessary for our salvation, why didn't Mormonism just restore them? This same argument equating incompleteness with invalidity must hold true also for Mormons when they consider that the writings of characters like Zenos, Zenoch, Nehum, and Esaias